Well, I think we're ready to start the second half of our presentation today. We're honored to have the Texas Engineering Extension Service, part of the A&M system, here to talk to us about forensic science and their academy. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having us here. My name is Tom Sheehan. I'm the Director for Public Safety and Security Division within TEKS. And I appreciate being invited to explain a little bit about what we're doing with the Forensic Science Academy some of the aspects associated with the new program that we've started in relation to the forensics needs across the state of Texas. Before I get going too far, I wanted to make sure that you kind of had an understanding about what the Extension Service is. You've heard, we're part of the Texas A&M University system. I know I'm in dangerous territory here in Austin, but definitely we as the university system for Texas A&M, are divided up, as you see, in two sections. We have the universities on the left-hand side with the academia involved, and then on the right-hand side, the agencies that are inside of the university system. They are divided up into engineering on the right-hand side, as you can see, and then the A and A&M for agriculture. Basically, you have a line drawn down the middle there. One, academia. Other side is research, training, extension, and response. And specifically speaking, with the Engineering Extension Service, TEKS, right here in the red, white, and blue, so you'll see three words underneath there, train, serve, and respond. The train, serve, and respond is because we train over 256,000 people each year, and that's worldwide. Specifically in the state of Texas, we deal quite a bit with fire training, urban search and rescue. You might recognize Texas Task Force 1. To kind of put a face with a name, we do quite a bit of that training and technical assistance. Technical and vocation training is what specifically TEKS is involved with. And specifically in my division, we train law enforcement for the most part in security. We have seven divisions within the agency, the fire training, the police officer training, the public works training, urban search and rescue, economic development, several different things that we address in the state of Texas as a mandate. We operate specifically not so much like a state agency because we only get about 3% of our operating budget from state resources. We operate more like a business because obviously we need to bring in those funds in order to operate efficiently. So specifically speaking for the Engineering Extension Service, public safety and security portion, the law enforcement needs for our division, we train about 15,000 officers across the state of Texas specifically. And that is kind of how our division works. Through that particular training and needs assessment, we always go out and ask the officer, what are some of the problems and concerns you're having across your jurisdictions, whether it be county, constable, or whatever it might be? And within the last a year, what we're hearing is specifics having to do with evidence collection, preservation, storage, and ultimately the forensic science part of what the department is responsible for doing when a crime is investigated. We heard from our previous speaker that to thoroughly investigate before there is an interrogation, that's a novel concept, isn't it? It's definitely something we want to do well at. But what do you investigate? In order for you to become an investigator, you have to have evidence. And that's where I want to take a step down. We're talking about the investigation part of it, talking about the false confessions, and all very well said. But I need to take a step down and talk about, I've just arrived to a crime scene. This isn't the academia part of what we're talking about. This is the vocation, technical skills, blue-collar, hands-on stuff that officers do on a daily basis. Are they doing it right? Well, unfortunately, sometimes they're not doing it correctly. Unfortunately, we cause our own problems. And I say we because I'm past law enforcement as well. What do we do to fix it? Well, that's why I'm here, and I've been invited to speak about the particulars of, in regards to the Texas Forensic Science Academy. We are trying to establish this fiscal year. The problem is that right now, law enforcement, attorneys, judges, and everyone involved in the justice system receives limited or fragmented training in forensic science training. Now, we can say this because as we do these things, we're looking at the mom and pops that are out there that are providing blood spatter evidence training. Or you have a latent prince over here that another person is training. Then you have some other stuff over here having to do with whatever it might be. But it's all fragmented, and there's many people doing it different ways, and there's not a real standardized process in some of the training that's going on. We're hearing this, and we wanted to do something about it. Because there's no such comprehensive training in the state of Texas right now that currently exists for technical vocation level training, we wanted to try and move forward with a solution that would provide statewide reduced training to law enforcement and those civilians responsible for investigating and collecting, preserving that evidence and storing that evidence. The education part of it would come to the judges and the attorneys involved through our PhD folks there at A&M and other components that have the expertise in forensics with specialized training and breakouts for their CEs. The solution we talked about would help us in a lot of different ways. One problem that we're having is that officers show up and they basically say, crime scene, got other calls holding, I'm going to grab everything and I'm going to put it in a bag and I'm going to send it to your department to process. We call it the dump truck method. And that has been a concern that we've had for a long time. Is that we're not selective about the evidence. We just collect everything, put it in a bag, and send it out. And what happens to that evidence? Well, there could be hundreds of pieces of evidence that the lab has to process that could be evidence, could not be evidence, could just be junk. But we collect it thinking we're doing the right thing, but what we're doing is we're backing up the labs and we're causing a problem with the preservation and presentation in the courtroom testimony. So our solution to this was that we would, our problem with this was wrongful arrests sometimes, wrongful convictions. We have, as you know, Texas is the one that stands out with the highest overturned cases in the nation. We're trying to get away from that particular aspect with this type of training. We call it a lack of equity, a lack of accuracy within the state of Texas justice system, and we want to create better science, which leads to better justice for everyone. There is no right or left, it's right down the center, seeking justice. I think it's been said several times. So our solution is, we want to look at specifics having to do with properly collected evidence, properly preserved evidence, and a selective collection method, process, standard, best practices, that we can relieve these, eventually relieve the backlog labs, that we can create a system or a protocol within these agencies that allow us to go forward in a systematic process, saving millions of tax dollars in what might be an overturn case or an exoneration that would obviously shouldn't have been there in the first place by just not indicting the guy or the gal that gets there, because the evidence drives us a different direction. And that's kind of what we have seen as a state agency in providing training across the state for law enforcement is to have the reduction in these mistrials or reductions in these millions of dollars that are being set through accuracy and equity when we collect this evidence. So how do we get there? Well, for the most part, what we have done is we've created a certificate program. The certificate program has three tiers to it. Now, as with anything else, there's funding regards to this. The Extension Service itself, through internal general resources, has invested $500,000 into this program already. We have completed, or will have completed, by the end of fiscal year 09, Tier 1 and Tier 2, the technical training certificate program called the Forensic Science Academy. We would bring this into three tier levels: the technician, the investigator, and the analyst. Our target audience, as we've said before, is law enforcement personnel that investigate or process this particular evidence, process crime scenes. We are not training the scientists. We're not training the lab personnel. That is not what this training is about. Obviously, they can participate, but they would participate in how to do it the right way in order that we don't get a dump truck method of collection being utilized. And that's where we really want to concentrate these efforts, as you'll see here in just a second. Our forensic breakouts and seminars that would be conducted by the likes of attorneys and academia would be funded to talk to judges and prosecutors and other attorneys that might be involved about their specialized training and other breakouts or specific false confessions, obviously being one that we would love to see. But we want to make clear that the Forensic Science Academy is not — I watched CSI Miami last night and I want to do that. It is not pre-employment training. This is for in-service.
That's Miami, Florida, not Miami, Texas, right?
That's actually right. Yes, sir. But this is for those that are already in service, that are already on the job, and responsible for the processing of crime scenes. Those would be those folks that we would see. Specifically, we would look at the forensic technician. It's a two-week course, and a lot of you think latent processing might be just fingerprints. Well, obviously, there's lots of different prints out there. And this two-week course will provide the majority of need for the agencies. This is really what they need right now. It's kind of like, I have a computer so I can be a cyber investigator, or I have a horse so let's develop a mounted unit. It's not like that. This is specific training for those specifically responsible for crime scene preservation, for crime scene collection of evidence, et cetera, et cetera. This particular program starts off with the 80 hour. Then it goes to a little bit more intensive program, and every bullet up there is a course. The 440 hours enables the investigator level to go through several weeks worth of training, not at the same time, but throughout the year. They have about three years to get this done. That we've tried to establish so that they can work through the certificate program. And by the end of that project, they're able to hold up a certificate that enables them to talk more eloquently about how they did certain things, how they processed the crime scene, how they were able to preserve that evidence and store it as well. At the very end of the investigator certificate, you'll see that last bullet is a capstone. The forensic investigator has a written and practical exam where they have a comprehensive requirement of process this crime scene all the way, start to finish, utilizing all the techniques that they have learned in the investigator level certificate, to include the technician, because you have to have the technician in order to get to the investigator level. This is the crux of the program. This part of the program will be completed by the end of fiscal year FY09. Yes?
How much of this long course, the 440-hour course, is doctrinal, that is, just in class studying, and how much is clinical out in the field?
Technical training is going to be the focus of this particular this program. There will be classroom presentation, obviously. Face-to-face is going to be required for the tools they need to go do the job. But for the most part, what we will see is a training lab that follows these courses around. It allows them to apply the training, whether it's blood spatter. We have houses that will be used, and obviously protected, and the spatter will be used in order to help them understand the components and the processes that they have to use to get there. Latent prints, same thing. All sorts of, every one of these bullets has a significant technical application that will be required. So we hear you. We at TEKS are hands-on, and not if you don't do it hands-on with this type of thing, I don't think you take it away. What we've done is we've reached out, and I appreciate your question, because Texas State, Dr. Melby, will be helping us with the anthropology death investigation. We're already going involved with that, and skeletal death investigation as well. We have Texas A&M, Dr. Miller, Dr. Tomberlin, that is going to help with forensic entomology. So we have a lot of different expertise that are going to be coming in. And I think the basis of your question is, all law enforcement officers are not going to teach a lot of these. It's going to be those people that have the understanding and of the complexities involved with it, but then bring in those subject matter experts that do it in the field for some of the technical and hands-on pieces of it. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Okay.
Anything else that makes anyone think of as far as this particular area? Okay. With that being said, this one being the crux of what we're doing, the next phase would be the forensic analyst. Well, to say the least, the forensic analyst is going to have some pretty high-powered folks that are going to be teaching this, because it is going to be the top level. It'll be another 320 hours that will be available to law enforcement, but it will be something that we don't believe that we'll be teaching for another couple of years, because they have to go through all of the other stuff before they actually get to this particular level. This is where we'll have to have funding in order to create this particular certificate, and we're pursuing that now. This particular certificate will also have a capstone, and it will be part of the same thing. You'll have to apply everything that you have been taught in order to get through this level. Questions about the analyst level? Okay.
I have no question. Mm-hmm. What about transparency? Can somebody come who is not training to be a law enforcement officer and watch the teaching?
Absolutely. We don't have any problem with people surveying the course. We understand that there's going to be some connectivity with those that have expertise in the field. Again, seeking justice means also providing transparency. And we see that as well. Questions or comments there? The objectives of the program, as we've set them out, is to train within 2 years 240 technicians, 160 investigators. That won't be a small task, I can promise you. Letting go of folks to get this type of training is difficult. We're not talking about the traffic officers. We're not talking about the patrol officers in most cases. We're talking about specifically trained individuals that address crime scene investigation. Now, as you well know, in the rural areas, some people do both. And it's not insurmountable to believe that that is one of the problems that we have, is that you show up to a scene, you take the report, and then you put on your technician hat, your crime scene technician hat, and you go in and start taking pictures and grabbing evidence and putting it in bags. And that's one of the big problems we see. But to address the rural needs, 65% of the state is considered rural. We've got to do that better. We've got to encourage those officers to feel comfortable processing crime scenes and know that what they're doing is important, so that whenever they are up on the stand, they can understand, they can articulate the processes they use in order to get where they are now. Looking at that, we still believe that the seminars are a very important part of it, because the three-pronged aspect of judges, attorneys, and the people that are providing testimony, we see obviously as a very, very important part. We have to develop that curriculum, and that will consist of 8 courses. Remember, the analyst course has not been developed yet. So we will be looking for funding in order to pursue that. In order for us to actually put this on the road, we need some mobile labs. The mobile training labs will not be used for enforcement. The mobile training labs will be to support these courses at the investigative level and technician level. and they will follow around those courses that we teach all over the state of Texas. This is not a College Station issue. It's not a Dallas or San Antonio issue. It is a Texas issue. And we plan to take these out to the venues that will support not only the large jurisdictions, but those rural areas as well.
I had a question. I'm a clerk of the court. I'm the district clerk down in El Paso. Chris Ochoa was there. But where do we stand? We are not the judges, and we are not criminal personnel, but yet I have a warehouse full of evidence. Yeah. So where is our training?
Absolutely. Part of the, you're talking about storage and property room stuff?
Yes, sir.
We understand that the storage association, what is the acronym?
CAPE.
Yes. We already understand that there is some connectivity that we can have with that group, that we would be able to bring in some of the aspects associated with the storage and preservation of that evidence. And I think this would make this program even better.
So where would we fall in the middle of this? I mean, is it more because I'm seeing the forensic technician with the 254 counties, that's quite a bit of people right there in itself. I mean, that fills it up by itself.
There's not any problem in having standalone training associated with the Forensic Science Academy that addresses specific court storage issues, and it might not fall into any one of these particular certificates. So if I hear you correctly, we still need to address those particular areas of your concern at every municipality that requires that assistance. So it may not fall into any one of these certificates. It may just be standalone, specialized training for that group. And I have no problem with that. I think that's great. Is that anchored?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is there anything else that made anybody think?
I want to be clear. There's nothing that requires law enforcement agencies to have any of this, correct? There's in a law enforcement agency, they don't have necessarily a forensic technician or a forensic investigator on staff. It may just be an officer who plays those different roles, and there's no training requirements in the law or somewhere else for any of this stuff. Is that right?
Thank you for that as well. To clarify, there is no mandate associated with this particular training. We are seeking no mandate associated with this particular training. This is training that is for accident reconstruction, for instance. You've got to have specialized knowledge and understanding how fast that car was going. Is it mandated that you do? No. But it's going to be difficult for you to have that particular capability without that type of training. Same thing goes here.
So you're not getting this program towards those agencies that have civilian crime labs, that have civilian crime scene investigators, civilian late defense investigators, civilian ballistics personnel. So this training is not geared towards those. This is strictly geared towards law enforcement personnel to supplement their law enforcement knowledge.
This will be for both, because those particular civilians are going to be, their linkage with the agencies are to process a crime scene. That's their responsibility. So if there is an affiliation with the department, then the civilian would also be involved with this training as well. It is for law enforcement and any of those personnel, such as Lee and Brian, for instance, Brian PD, has gone to civilian personnel that process crime scenes, and we would have those folks sitting in on these types of classes as well, gaining these certificate levels.
Even though any of those folks have far exceeded their hiring, training far exceeds your expectations. For instance, you're talking about analysts. I work for the Austin Crime, the Austin Police Department. I run the crime lab here. Our analysts are required to have master's degrees. So I'm wondering what the fit is.
Well, the fit, obviously, this is going to be the location part of the requirement for possibly Austin. If Austin requires a master's to be on board before they actually get to a certain level within the department, that would not hinder you from sending folks to the analyst level, because there's no requirement on our end that they would have a master's. It's just available training for those that the department deems as necessary.
Well, so we have an in-house program that for every person that we hire have to go through. We have a 480-hour training course, instructional course. And then we have an additional 80-hour in-the-field course. Mm-hmm. much of these things are covered. So that, I mean, we're talking now about how we certify and provide our people certificates, standardized certificates. So I'm agreeing to what you're saying there. It's just I don't see any role for a Houston or Austin Labs and the Athlon Labs that, quite honestly, we cover in our initial hiring.
I see what you're saying. But
this would be able to advance training, correct?
Right, this is advanced training, but it also covers the basic training needed for investigators to go in and process the crime scene. So we try to cover the basic needs as well as those advanced needs. It may be that Austin might not need or see this as necessary for their officers because they're going through this training already. And that's what I see. We had to address the rural areas as well as the metropolitan areas with this training. And it may be something, obviously, that you can see pieces and parts of that you would need, but not in
totality. But I don't want to sound negative because I still believe that there is a need for the state to have a certificate program. It's one thing that we don't have. Mm-hmm. Our people receive this in-house training, but there's not a state validated or a national validated certificate that they receive in terms of the training that they're. So I don't want to sound negative.
Got
it. As a matter of fact, I think one of my people training with you guys at A&M provides some special training for you guys. But I see a need for that standardized certification program.
And I'll get to you in just a second. I want to make sure everybody's clear. This is not certifying, we can't as a state agency certify anyone to do anything. This is a certificate program that shows accomplishment of vocational training. And in order for us to get to a certifying level, there has to be a third party, such as an association that establishes practices that have been accepted by those particular expertise. And that's the problem of being the state agency. We can't certify or mandate anything, and that's the shortfall of that. Yeah, but
so in line of that, and what you just said, it doesn't sound like you would be offering some sort of an equivalency certificate for people to kind of test out those basic levels and sort of advance directly to the advanced level. The technician
too. Yes. Well, so we will.
Oh, okay.
We will, because a lot of the subject matter experts that are helping us stand these courses up, write these courses, curriculum development, those are folks that you've probably already visited with, have taken some of the training they offer, and those equivalencies would be something that we would review on a case by case. Other questions or comments? All very good. We appreciate it all.
Yeah. What the gentleman was saying, I think that, like in my case, it would help justify the payment.
You know, absolutely.
Something to this effect, when we go to budget, being able to show, here's the certificate, I agree with the gentleman that we need to be able to have something to show commissioners or legislators that, you know, this particular individual needs a pay raise.
Well, not only
pay
that.
A pay standard.
Not only that, but the people that sit in these chairs as well will see you as a more credible witness, in my opinion. And that helps with testimony articulation as well. Good, all good questions. If anything else? Okay. The last thing I'd like to say is that we really do believe in better justice. Better science leads to better justice for all. And that's the direction we'd like to head. And do appreciate very much Judge Hervey us being allowed to come in and talk to us. The group today. We look forward to the challenges of the future with this program, and we feel like that it touches a lot of folks that have been underserved for a long time, and we would hope that you feel the same way. Questions or comments?
On that last slide, you had talked about conducting seminars for judges, prosecutors, and public defenders. Two questions. One, what are you going to tell the judges? And two, why are you restricting it to public defenders and not?
Well, and we probably said that wrong. We should have said attorneys, plain and simple. We want all of the participants in the courtroom to be involved with this. Now, I understand there may be some separation. I understand, and I've heard that from DAs a lot of places. And we will do that. We understand that there's concerns there. As far as what we're going to teach judges, I want the judges to tell us that. I want the judiciary to let us know what they need. I've heard from DAs talking about tool marks. I've heard about touch DNA. I've heard about these specialties coming out that people want to know more about that may not be involved in the technical vocation training, but would be something as far as specialized training that the DAs and the judges and others have voiced. And that's what we want to draw upon. And to answer your question fully, there's nothing boxed that we're going to promote. It is basically feedback.
I think most of what judges, trial judges, need is help with acting appropriately as the gatekeeper. A very high percentage of lawyers are former liberal arts majors, and they've probably never seen the inside of a book chemistry lab above high school level. And they really are confused, and they don't know how to say, is this guy an expert, or is he a charlatan? Or like the guy who was a Nobel physicist and was then touting vitamin C. Way out of this area, thinking out of ignorance. Now he's really good at the physics, but really bad at vitamins. And judges need help with that. Being the gatekeeper that the Supreme Court requires them to be.
I understand. And we would like to provide that type of sustenance. I understand that it's going to be based on feedback from that body, but that's really what we would need anyway to drive where we need to go as far as that type of training and education goes. And so I appreciate your question.
We'll be happy to survey them for you.
Absolutely.
That's the general.
Judge, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Well, thank you all for coming today, and please call us, give us your suggestions, your help, whatever, and we'll keep you informed. If you have any questions, you can always contact Rose, and she'll pass them on, and the court thank you.
Thank you.